ketchup is great on a hot dog. Let me say that again. So, I want to make sure everybody heard me. Ketchup is great on a hot dog. Independence Day is just around the corner, or maybe you're listening to this on Independence Day. If you are, happy 4th of July. And if you're talking about 4th of July weekend, as it pertains to food, there's a good chance grilling is going to be involved. And if grilling is involved, there's a good chance, of course, hot dogs are involved. So if we were ever going to do an episode of Hot Takes on a Plate here on the Believe Podcast Network about hot dogs, this is the best time to do it. And if you're going to have a hot dog expert on, you got to have on my friend Catherine DeChico of Walter's Hot Dogs in Mamaroneck, one of the most iconic and best hot dog places in America. Been around since 1919. Catherine, how's it going?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're going to get to some hot takes. And listen, I've got maybe my hottest take of all time. It's actually about hot dogs. So brace yourself. But first, before we get to that, I'm just curious, like, how are things going with Walter's? You know, here in New York, obviously, we're getting back into the dining swing as it pertains to COVID-19. And Walter's is, for people who don't know, you have two locations. The OG dates back, you know, 1919. Walter's was started in 1919, but the actual landmark pagoda that you're in, dates back to 1928.
It was built in 1928. Yep.
So that's in Mamaroneck, and it's all outdoor seating. It always has been. There's no indoor anything. And then you have a newer location, a couple years old, in White Plains, which does have indoor seating. So
yeah,
Westchester County, New York, is just getting into the indoor dining at half capacity thing. Outdoor has been going on a couple weeks up there. So now that you've had a little bit of time with this, how's it going? What's the feel of things?
Yeah, I mean, so for us, we are, you know, it is fast food. It's fast comfort food. It's takeout mostly. So we were able to stay open, you know, all during COVID, just doing takeout, delivery, curbside pickups. You know, we did have to change a lot of procedures and ways that we did things, but we were fortunate enough to stay open. We're so happy. Our Mamaroneck location, our picnic area, is something that, you know, people look forward to sitting at all year round. You know, they call like summer season Walter's season. So we were able to open our picnic area with all distance tables and everything about 3 weeks ago for phase two. And then for White Plains, we recently opened our indoor dining this past Tuesday. So, you know, people are definitely, you know, you could see people are out, you know, people are happy to get out again and still feel safe while doing so, because all the, you know, all the policies and procedures are still in place of distancing and wearing masks and everything. So, you know, we've been lucky through this all.
It's got to create, as a restaurant owner, even though it is more fast casual than, you know, regular quote unquote dining, it's got to create some headaches, because you got to put in certain procedures and you got to worry about an extra layer of safety for yourself, for your staff, for your customers. Talk about just what you've had to kind of look into and just how, you know, I mean, that's got to be a lot on the mind and very taxing, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for restaurants, for the restaurant industry as a whole, for those places that were maybe able to stay open. You know, you kind of had to like rethink your business model overnight, in a few days, in a week, if you wanted to stay afloat and stay busy. I mean, we had to implement, you know, even just things with, you know, sanitizing and training our staff on, you know, what they should be doing, and wearing masks is obviously, it's something that's pretty tough when you're on a grill and, you know, maybe making fries all day. You know, it's a lot of things that people had to adapt to, but really quickly. And, you know, I give props to everyone, you know, our whole team, because everyone really, like, you know, they really took to it. And, you know, even enforcing things with customers wearing masks and staying distanced while online, you know, we had to look into getting like plexiglass. And when we opened our outdoor seating area, you know, you looked down Mamaroneck Avenue in White Plains and literally everyone had out measuring tapes and were, you know, distancing all their tables down the whole avenue. So there's been so many things operationally. Also with our food trucks, Rob, you know, we had so many events obviously that were canceled.
That's right.
Yeah. But we were able to actually come together with all the food trucks in Westchester and kind of think of a way that we can do like socially distanced, basically block parties and park in someone's driveway. So we were able to actually keep the trucks afloat and keep our truck staff, you know, still working during COVID, you know, towards the end of it more, but we were still able to, you know, keep the revenue stream and keep the business going. So
now here on Hot Takes on a Plate, you, the listener, get to eavesdrop on the ultimate food fights as I debate my culinary world friends and other eating enthusiasts in their areas of expertise. And Catherine, we are going to get into it about hot dogs. So I am going to throw some hot takes your way about hot dogs, and you will just tell me why I'm right or tell me why I'm wrong. You ready?
Great. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. The first one, brace yourself.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's the hottest take. Might be the hottest take I have. Ketchup is great on a hot dog. Let me say that again. So, I want to make sure everybody heard me. Ketchup is great on a hot dog. It's childhood memories, people. It's childhood memories. Come on. Come on.
Man.
Our parents weren't quote unquote foodies, right? Like we all ate ketchup on a hot dog and we all loved it. And then somewhere along the way, we were told, no, that's wrong. I don't know. The word came out of Chicago. Somebody rang a siren. And I know I'm saying this to the worst person, because Walters is maybe, you could argue, more famous for its mustard even than its hot dogs.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it at Walters. But I just think, look, hot dogs, they're salty and they're rich, and ketchup has that high acid content and the sweetness. It cuts through it. It makes sense. It's just this ridiculous stigma. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
So you said it. You know, Walters is obviously known for our mustard. We only added ketchup in 1991, so we were open for so long without it. I agree with you that it's allowed on a hot dog, because I get it. Like, our mustard is tangy. It has relish in it. It has a sweet kick. You have the ketchup. I actually sporadically will do a little mustard and ketchup. But I wouldn't. It's funny. My mom, whenever someone asks for ketchup, she'll be like, you know, she'll say to us, oh, ketchup's for kids. They're like, you know, we're not fans of it. But if you get it with our mustard, we accept it. So will I say it's great? For us, we're kind of against it, but I get it. It adds another depth of flavor, which is acceptable in my book.
I mean, look, I appreciate that, because I just got validation from the highest of high places in the hot dog world. I mean, yes, if you're going to try a Walters hot dog, your first one should be with the mustard. I'm not a huge mustard fan in general, but I make exceptions for your mustard. But
I'm happy to hear that.
I didn't even have to get into it with you. I came like armed with like a binder of things I could throw at you for rebuttal, and I don't even have to go to it. Like, I actually started thinking into the Wayback Machine to a few years ago when you did a collaboration with a pizza place in Westchester, Porta Napoli.
Yes.
And you put your hot dogs on their pizza, and pizza, of course, has tomato sauce. And I was going to go down that route about, well, if tomato sauce is acceptable with a hot dog, so is ketchup. And I didn't even get to throw that at you.
Well, you know, you kind of put in that flavor profile of ketchup. And I, for me, like, if it's with our mustard, fine. If someone orders a Walters hot dog with just ketchup, you know, I try not to say anything. And I'm like, okay, are you sure you don't want to try the mustard? So it's kind of like a yes and a no. But at the end of the day, I agree that it is okay to put it on a hot dog.
In general, I'm not a fan of food rules. Like, you need to eat this way. Like, you know,
right.
Look, to each their own. As long as you've tried things a certain way once, if you like it a different way better, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we do collaborations and we don't do toppings. But when we do the collaborations with people, like, you know, they're making epic barbecue or they're making like an epic chili. Like, you know, we understand that it can be elevated a little bit and made differently, but the way that we do it, of course, we think is the best way, and it's the simplest way, and that's what we're all about. But
and I'll be honest with you, the bigger faux pas to me with ketchup is ketchup on a burger.
Yeah.
I think ketchup is better on a hot dog than a burger. I really do. I mean, to me, a burger needs a tangy, creamy, like mayo-based condiment.
Yeah, and I mean, a good burger a lot of the time doesn't need any condiment at all, you know?
No, I mean, it doesn't need much. A good burger doesn't need much. Just
right.
just a little lube, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, next hot take I'll throw your way.
Okay.
The only acceptable hot dog to boil is one with a casing. That's it. I mean, I love a casing on a hot dog, and I think boiling a hot dog with a casing on it is great, and it's fine, and you get that snap. But if it's a hot dog without a casing, don't boil it. Don't throw it on a flat top like you guys do. You guys split it and throw it on the flat top for a little extra Maillard. But you know, you throw it on a grill, whatever. Don't boil it. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, honestly, I would say it's like against our family religion to boil hot dogs at all. I didn't grow up eating them boiled. I would never boil them myself. I guess because we're used to ours, they don't have any casing on them. And we grill them and they become, you know, crispy and delicious and have this totally different effect when you grill them on a flat top. I would say no hot dog is good to boil. I would rather always have it, you know, grilled or cooked in maybe a little butter-based sauce like we do it.
Are you okay with casing?
I'm okay with casing, yeah. It adds like a little bit of a snap, I feel like, when you bite into it.
I love a good casing.
Ours have no casing on them, actually, which is interesting.
Well, now we're talking about, you know, Independence Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things people look forward to, I'm going to name drop another hot dog place, but the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And you guys actually had me judge a hot dog eating contest at Walter's. I think it was last summer, and it was a lot of fun, but that being said, my hot take here is just in general, like, food eating competitions are gross. They just are. I'm like, I've become very, I used to be pro food eating competitions. I've become very anti hot dog / food eating competitions over the years. It's just, I mean, first off, to put your body through that, to say I'm going to shove 60 hot dogs down my throat in 10 minutes, like, that is not normal. And that is disgusting. And I don't even know what's going on inside somebody's intestinal tract. And do I really want to watch that? Like, I just, it's not. And I've like, just the idea of even attempting it now at my age, I'm just,
yeah.
I mean, tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
I would say you're right. I would have to agree with you on that. So will we stop doing the hot dog eating contest? We do it every 5 years. Probably not, but it's just a tradition. But you know, the Nathan's one, we actually were friendly with someone who worked there. We went maybe 3 Julys ago, my brother and I, which is also like against our, you know, family rules, but we were excited to go, excited to see how it was. I'd never been down there. But yeah, watching it is tough. And a lot of the time, as you might've seen last summer, like people get sick. But at Walter's, you know, our hot dog is totally different. It's smaller. It's a little more mild. It's not as, you know, it's not as hard to take down. But it's still tough to watch when people, they can't get through it.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with that one.
Next hot take. Grownups should not order hot dogs at a sit down restaurant. I mean, it could be the best and fanciest version of a hot dog, but to me, you can't elevate a hot dog that much, right? Like what you get at Walter's is great. So going to a sit-down restaurant and getting their house-made elevated hot dog, is it really going to be better? Like, to me, it's not that the hot dog at a sit-down restaurant is going to be bad. It's just there's going to be better things on the menu, you know? Like, save that for the kids. Like if you want a hot dog, go to a place like Walter's. Don't go to a sit-down restaurant and get the hot dog. I don't care how artisanal it is. Get something else. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
I would have to say you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
I think that, you know, again, it's hard talking about hot dogs in general because, you know, Walter's is its own thing. So like, could anybody go to a restaurant and order a Walter's hot dog and enjoy it? Yes. But I can't take away from them kind of what you said, like, to each his own. If they want to, maybe it's comfort food for them. Maybe they've been eating hot dogs forever. Maybe it is an artisanal one with fun toppings, but if I was wanting to try it, even as an adult, I might look at them differently if they put ketchup on it, but I'd have to disagree with you on that one.
I just, my thing is this, I don't see how you're going to make the hot dog at a restaurant. Like, I've had restaurant hot dogs, you know, hosting Restaurant Hunter. I had plenty, and they weren't bad. I mean, you know, obviously somebody's putting a lot of labor into making them, but were they exponentially better than, you know, a Walter's or a Boar's Head or a Nathan's, or, you know, name your, whatever you want to go with as your reference point, you know, that's considered a good version of, or very good version of a hot dog that you can get on the cheaper end. Mm-hmm. Not usually. I'm not like, oh my God, this blows this out of the way. So, you know, like, I would rather have something else on the menu there, you know, something that maybe I can't get somewhere else.
I get it. Have you been to Eugene's Diner yet, Rob?
I have, and I've had that 13-incher shoved in my face by Dave DeBerry without asking for it. And again,
so when I ate there, I got it, and my husband's father got it as well. So I, you know, and props to him. I mean, he's making a homemade hot dog, which is awesome, and all the sauces
and look.
But when it's elevated like that, it's, you know. You gotta try it.
And I say it as, it's not a knock on it. It's a very good hot dog. My thing is, I'd rather have the Japanese pancakes at Eugene's Diner.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not something I'm going to find everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have, he does this amazing dry aged minute steak. That's revelation. Like, with that great horseradish cream. Like, I want that. You know, hot dog, I'm like, okay, it's good for Instagram. It's big and long, you know, ha 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 ha. But like, I don't, it's the, you know, all the things, he does so many good things there. Like, I love Eugene's Diner. That place is fantastic. Yeah. I rave about it, but I just,
it depends on what you're craving. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, I'm going to go to Walter's if I want a hot dog.
I like that answer. I agree with you on that.
Or way back in the day, my favorite hot dog place back in the day was Criff Dog, but I don't think my body could handle that anymore. Yeah. Like, that's just, it's too much. The bacon wrap, deep fried, like.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's a lot. Like, you need to be young to eat it. You can't.
to digest that properly.
Once you hit a certain age, you have aged out of Criff Dog. Like, do you feel that way in general? There's like certain foods in certain places you get to a point you age out of, not because of like childhood nostalgia or anything. It's like your body just literally will reject it. It's like, no, you can't eat like that anymore.
Yeah. Even like once I hit my 30s, you know, your body changes. Yes. And you can't eat like you used to. I definitely can't drink like I used to. I mean, you know, I have one glass of wine and I have a headache. So there's definitely, Criff Dogs is definitely one of those foods. I'm sure there's others I can't think of right now, but you know, things change. you can't eat as much as you used to. It's tough.
All right, I'll throw another one at you here.
Okay.
I think price plays into the food enjoyment factor way more than we give it credit for. I think when we eat something and we really enjoy it, and we know we got a deal, we got a bargain, it didn't cost us a whole lot of money, it sends extra endorphins through us. You know, like if you've ever had like a hot dog or, you know, an amazing taco, and you're like, oh my gosh, this was so good, and I paid $3 for it. And there's that little extra, you know, something. Whereas, you know, you go out to the high-end fine dining meal, you enjoy it, but then you get the bill and you're like, you know, there's a little bit of that, you know, when the bill comes. I really do think price plays a huge psychological factor in how much we enjoy a meal. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I'd have to agree. I think that it plays a part in the way that your expectation is set before you go. So it kind of, you know, Joe and I love to do, you know, we'll splurge sometimes and do like a little fine dining, and, you know, going into it, your expectation's so much higher than if you were going into like, you know, a hole in the wall Mexican joint with $3 tacos. That actually might be better than the more expensive food, but you know, your expectation is different going into it. So you know, you come out of it with a totally different opinion than if it was priced maybe accordingly and not overpriced or underpriced.
And I'm going to guess you guys suffer from that in reverse, because even though you're affordable and all of that, people consider Walter's to be, some will say, the best hot dog anywhere, period, like full stop. And when you put that kind of expectation on someone, even though it's just a humble hot dog, that can be hard to live up to. Especially yours isn't gimmicky. It's like, here's the hot dog, here's the bun, here's the mustard. Like, there's no gimmick to hide behind. It's just, here it is.
Yeah, we've definitely always been known for like having cheap eats and having, you know, somewhat conservative pricing. But then there's some people that, because our hot dog doesn't have toppings and because maybe they don't get it or get the labor, you know, our hot dog takes a lot of labor. It's a labor of love that goes into it. So, you know, they think $2.75 is like so expensive. And we're like, this isn't, you know, this isn't the gas station with like a beef hot dog rolling on a, you know, on a cart all day. Like this.
And a dry bun. That's the worst part. That's the worst part of the gas station hot dog is the bun. And that's honestly, that's the underrated part of a Walter's hot dog. You guys are taking that bun, dipping it in that clarified butter, putting it on the flat top. Oh, it just, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, it's I always say it's equally as important as the hot dog because it, you know, it has the butter-based sauce on it, the same as the hot dog. And it's like, it adds a super crunch level, which you need for texture. I mean, it adds to the whole experience of like that first bite that you take. So I personally can't eat, I wouldn't eat, you know, an untoasted bun with a hot dog.
No, but I don't eat another
hot dog, so yeah.
All right, last one I'll throw
at you. But I agree
with
you on that.
Last one I'll throw at you. I'll be honest with this one. I don't have a hardcore opinion, but it's like the question. The other question when it comes to hot dogs, you got to ask.
I feel like I know what you're going to say.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? Were you guessing that? Were you guessing I was going to say that? I mean,
yes,
I guess by literal definition, yes, but nobody considers it that.
No, yeah. I mean, no. Like we did a podcast a few years ago with Dan Pashman where this had to be four or five years ago, Sporkful. Yeah. And we actually, he had us come and make hot dogs and we didn't even, you know, we didn't really even know what the whole debate was about. It was literally him and I don't even know who debating if the hot dog was a sandwich. So then since then people have asked us for years, they come to us and ask us what we think. Again, my answer is no, because you know, a Walter's hot dog, it's split down the middle. It lies flat on a bun. Is it kind of like a sandwich? Yes. But like a burger, the hot dog is, you know, it's its own thing. It's its own, it's not a sandwich. You wouldn't go to the deli to pick up a hot dog sandwich. You know, you go there to pick up a wedge. Like you don't, you know, you don't call a hot dog a sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're being real literal, it is a meat between two pieces of bread.
Yes.
Although even that, it's like the bun itself, it's often like when I open up a hot dog bun, it's hinged. So it's attached. So does it have to be two pieces of bread? Can it be?
That's also a big debate. The bread, is it hinged or is it unhinged?
Well, is a lobster roll a sandwich?
No, I would say no. What do you think?
See, in my head,
it's its own category, you know?
I mean, in my head, I guess a lobster roll sort of is a sandwich. I mean, I guess if you're going by, I'd have to look up the exact definition of sandwich in Merriam-Webster. Yes. I would think if you were to look up the definition, it probably would fall. It's, you know what it is I'd compare it to? It's sort of like when we talk about like what's a fruit and what's a vegetable, right? Like tomato or avocado.
Is a fruit and
I think technically
like
they're both
blown.
Fruits, but we just consider them vegetables. Like it's just sort of our mindset, our DNA.
I don't know who started the sandwich thing, but I remember when we heard about it a few years ago, we were questioning ourselves. Yes, we should.
We'll blame Dan Pashman. We'll blame him. He needed content.
Yes. It was a very hot topic. It has carried on with us all the way till now, where people are still asking the question. So,
well listen, no, people need some hot topics. And for people out there listening, if you do not live near Mamaroneck or White Plains and you want your Walter's hot dog fix, you guys are on Gold Belly, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, so we ship nationally through Gold Belly. You know, they're an amazing website of all perishable items all across the country. I mean, they have mom and
it's
pop
wild.
Shops, iconic shops. It's pretty amazing.
I give a lot of gifts through it. It's great for gifts.
It is. Everything ships overnight. I know during COVID, you know, our Gold Belly sales, that was one of our main sources of revenue for a little while because we, you know, the stores weren't as busy in the beginning and people were home and they were like, we need Walter's at home. So they would order them, you know, we ship them all across the country. So it's cool to see. And then people write notes and we get to read them and everyone has a Walter's story. So Gold Belly has been super fun for us to, it's just another way to connect with people that, you know, maybe can't get here, but if you're close by or even in New York City, I mean, it's just a quick drive and it's, you know, it's an experience coming here.
It's a good road
trip. Summer.
And yeah. Right now, I think people are looking for road trips. They're looking for excuses to get out, but absolutely. Find something kind of safe to do. And I mean, look, if you're looking for something safe to do when it comes to food, I guess about as safe of a dining out experience as you can have is going to a pagoda and standing 6 feet from other people in line and getting your hot dog. And you could eat it in the car if you want. You could take it to go and eat it, yeah. You know, wherever. So listen, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for validating my opinions on ketchup on a hot dog. My greatest hot take of all time.
I might take it back. I don't know.
You're going to be crucified after this.
I know.
Well, listen, Hot Takes on a Plate is part of the Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV. Check them out at BLEAV.com. And if you want to get in touch with me personally, you can find me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Rob Patrone TV. And if you like what you're listening to right now, make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, everything else under the sun. And give us a rating, 5 stars, of course. Leave a comment as well. Till next time, I'm Rob Patrone. Ciao.